Good morning.
So who wants to guess what the message is on? You can turn to Matthew 14. I thought Grant was going to get into it. And then I went to Sunday school, and then I thought Harley was going to get into it. And I was like, okay, whatever. Because I honestly did not look at the Sunday school lesson. Phyllis had talked to me about it a little bit, but I did not look at the Sunday school lesson until I was sitting in class. And honestly, I wrestled with this because I went back and looked, and I think it was in November I preached a message on trust. And that's not my message this morning, but that is a theme that comes out in this passage. And so the title of the message is The Purpose of the Storm. Every storm has a purpose, and we want to look at that this morning. I want to ask a question. How many of you have experienced the storm, physical storm? Now, I'm not talking about in your emotional being, but physically. A storm that was so intense you were afraid for your life. How many of you have ever experienced that? Just a couple. I was actually trying to remember this. She didn't raise her hand, so she must not remember it. When the girls were young, and we had our nice orange pop-up that I was so proud of, and they weren't, anyway. Well, that's a different story. But we were camping. It was our summer camping. My family was camping at Ridge Road. And if you've been to Ridge Road, you know that Ridge Road is a peninsula. And so it doesn't matter where you're at on there, you are on one side of the other of water. Well, we didn't realize that the side we were on tends to be the side, which I don't know, that's not correct either, because we've gotten storms from both sides while we're there. But one night, one evening, we were there around a fire, and all of a sudden an intense thunderstorm came up. And so everybody went to their campers immediately, and we were in our pop-up, and things started flying. Literally, it was one of the worst storms I've ever experienced while camping. And I wasn't sure we were going to be upright till the storm was over. We were. The awning was... it didn't tear it off, but it came close. And Petersburg is right across the water there. The next morning, we found out that there were campers that actually had gotten flipped. And it was scary. It was a very scary experience, and especially with the girls who were very young at that time. And I wasn't really afraid for my life, but, you know, what happens if the camper flips? What happens if, how do I make sure that they're okay? And it's a time of just intense, what is next? What's going to happen? I want to look at, we're going to actually back up. I'm not going to start with the story of the storm. But I want to back up to just before the story of Peter walking on the water. Am I in the right? No, I'm in the wrong one here. I'm looking at chapter 15. I couldn't figure out why. It's supposed to be feeding the 5, and it kept saying feeding the 4 here, and I'm in the wrong chapter. But Jesus and his disciples were out, and they were out on the plain, and this is part of where Jesus was teaching the Sermon on the Mount. One of the authors calls it the Sermon on the Mount. One of them calls it the Sermon on the Plain. So I'm not sure. It probably is not mountains like we would picture, but kind of a mountainous area, hilly area, where it was a natural amphitheater. And it was down by the lake, Gennesaret, and Jesus was teaching the people, and they came, and there were so many people there that they couldn't get around. And they needed something to eat, and the disciples wanted to send them away, and Jesus didn't do that. They was too busy. And so they brought Jesus these loaves and fishes that a young boy had. And Jesus multiplied that small lunch and fed 5,000 people with it. Now, that's not just 5,000. It says 5,000 in most headings, but I think it's 5,000 plus women and children. So I think it was actually more than five. I'm not sure about that. But now the disciples, can you imagine coming off of that miracle? And I'm not going to read it. There's three different places where it talks about it. It's in Matthew, Mark, and John. Luke doesn't record it. But can you imagine the high that would be? When you just experienced Jesus taking this little sack lunch and feeding all his people. Now, John says that Jesus, perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force to make him a king, he withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So Jesus understood that the purpose, and I think Harley talked about this in the Sunday school lesson, Jesus was totally at ease in that storm because he knew that he wasn't going to die in that storm, and he knew his disciples weren't going to die, so he was sleeping. Now, if you look in our Sunday school lesson, what does it say at the very last verse of our lesson this morning? Does anybody remember? Because they didn't know who Jesus was. They still were thinking he's going to be a king. They still had that in their mind. They didn't understand who Jesus was yet at this point. And even here, they still didn't really understand who he was. But Jesus understood that his purpose was not to be a king, and he realized that there was going to be chaos if he allowed these people to continue to do what they were wanting to do. So Jesus takes his disciples, and what does it say? He made the disciples get into the boat. Now, I don't know if he physically walked them down to the water and said, get in the boat and go to the other side and I'll meet you over there. I don't really know how that happened, but it says he made them get into the boat. Now, do you think Jesus knew there was a storm coming? Or do you think he went to the mountain and made the storm? I think Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew that he was sending these men into a storm. Now, just for a little bit of reference, the lake of Gennesaret is only about 4 miles across. And from what I understand, this most likely happened during Passover time, and most likely in Israel during that time is a full moon. And most authors believe that you could be on the plain, on the mountain, whatever, on that high area, the knoll, wherever Jesus was, and you could see all the way across the lake. Now Luke says that in the middle of the storm, Jesus could see the disciples out there in the middle of the lake, and they were rowing for all they were worth. They believe, again, this is speculation, nobody that's alive today was there, but most authors believe as well that there was a stiff wind and they were rowing into that wind. And so they were fighting this thing with all they were worth. Now, how many of you have ever been in the middle of a lake in the middle of a storm? Come on, somebody's been there. It's scary. It's really scary. And especially when you know it's dangerous water. I would rather be in the middle of a deep lake in the middle of a storm than in the middle of a shallow lake. Because it's much more dangerous in a shallow lake. This lake was actually is not really a very deep lake. I would rather be out at Lake Murray Dam in the middle of a storm than I would be in a shallow lake. Because it's more dangerous in a shallow lake. But Jesus understood that. So Jesus saw the disciples. He had gone to the mountain to pray. And it doesn't really say what he went to pray for. But he saw the disciples and he saw their distress. And he went to them. Now, the disciples were not prepared for this because they're busy. They're fighting the boat. They're trying to get to the other side. Now, don't you think that when Jesus comes walking by, you've just experienced one of the largest miracles that you'd ever seen, and they already forgot it? Or were they just too busy to remember it? I don't know. But see, we sometimes cry out to God for miracles, and then He gives us a miracle, and then tomorrow we forget what just happened. Now, we're pretty normal. I think the disciples, I don't know, I think they were probably pretty busy. But anyway, what I want to do in the next couple minutes is just unpack some things here. There's 4 points that I want us to look at this morning. And the first one is Jesus allows storms. And sometimes Jesus puts us in the storm. Now, there's two types of storms that we read about in the Scriptures. And one is a storm of correction. That was Jonah. Jonah wanted to disobey God, and he ran. And he got into a mess. And God needed to pull him back and correct him. Now, that, you know, this, all of that didn't really change Jonah's heart, because when he went to Nineveh, he still was kind of ticked off when God didn't do what he said he was going to do. But God gave them a chance. Anyway, there's another storm, and it's a storm of perfection. And we think about Job. What did Job do to deserve what happened? Job was a godly man. In fact, God bragged about Job, and he said to Satan, he said, "This guy is perfect." I don't know if he quite said that, but that's kind of the gist you get. I'd almost like to hear God bragging about me like that a little bit. I'm not perfect, so I guess he can't. But then there's the disciples here, and they were with Jesus. They were learning from Jesus. They were trying to understand who He was. They still didn't really know who He was. And that's what I picked up on that, and I'll talk about that again a little bit at the end. But I picked up on that in the storm that we studied in our Sunday school lesson, they still didn't really know who Jesus was. They still thought that He was going to be a ruler, a physical ruler. And Jesus, He knew that wasn't His purpose. John 16:3 says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." When we find ourselves in the storm because we have obeyed the Lord, we must remember that He brought us here and He will take care of us. So when Jesus walks us down to the water and He makes us get in the boat, and we get out in the middle of the lake and there's a storm, we need to stay focused. We need to remember that He just allowed that to happen. The second point is that Jesus prays for us. He intercedes for us. Verse 23 says, "After He had dismissed the crowds, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone." Mark 6 reads this way: "After He had taken leave of them, He went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and He was alone on the land. And He saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them." Now, I think that probably is Mark's description of what he thought, that Jesus was actually going to walk by them. But I wonder, what was Jesus' purpose in even going out on the lake if He was going to walk by them? Jesus could have just ended up on the other side of the lake. In fact, John says that when Jesus got in the boat, they were immediately on the other side of the lake. They didn't even have to row. It was because it was calm. Now they're just I don't know if there was a wind. I don't know. But John, that's what John says. But Jesus saw their distress from where he was, from his vantage point of wherever he was. He saw their distress. Romans 8:34 tells us that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Hebrews 4 verses 14 through 16 says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Let me ask you a question. If you knew that Jesus was somewhere in this building this morning praying for you, do you think it would give you new courage to endure the storm? Anybody brave enough to raise your hand? It would me. I'm just going to tell you, if I knew Jesus was in that room right now praying for me, I wouldn't be quite as nervous as I am right now. And I don't know why I'm nervous. But I am this morning. I'm not sure. But all of us have that picture of what we, how we would like to see it happen sometimes. And let's stop with that one right now. But maybe he's not physically here. But he is interceding for us right now. The third point that I want to look at is Jesus will come to us in his time. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Now, it doesn't say how long they were out there fighting the storm. But if we can imagine that probably early in the evening he sent them out there, and this is about 3 o'clock in the morning is what the fourth watch would be based on the Roman military watch that they had, somewhere about 3 a.m. But Jesus came to them. David, in Psalm 69, cries out for God to rescue him. He says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God." David was in such distress that he was ready to give up. There's speculation that this was written right during the time when he was dealing with his sin with Bathsheba. But he was in distress. God wasn't anywhere. And he wanted to feel God. Paul in 2 Corinthians 1:8 says, and he was talking about something that happened in Asia. I don't really remember what it was. But he says, "We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." In other words, Paul, whatever it was, Paul was just about ready to give up. Isaiah 43:2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you." I believe that the disciples did not recognize Jesus because they were afraid for their lives. Even the fishermen in the group were afraid. They had just seen an awesome miracle of Jesus feeding 5,000 people with that little lunch. And yet right now they were so involved in their own little problem that they forgot what had just happened. Fear and faith cannot live in the same heart. Fear always blinds the eyes to the presence of God. Fear and faith cannot live in the same heart. And the fourth one is storms make us grow in faith. The whole purpose of the storm. What is the purpose of the storm? And Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. He came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying to him, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him. Truly, you are the Son of God. I want to look at those last couple verses. Jesus asked Peter, he said, why did you doubt? But then verse 33 says, those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. You see why I connected the storm earlier when it says they didn't understand who they were, who he was? All of a sudden, something clicked. They realized that he is the Son of God. It clicked. They knew it. He'd been telling them, but it didn't click. And all of a sudden, here they were. 1 Peter 3:12 says, For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. Jesus saw the distress of the disciples. Jesus responded to their distress. Peter trusted Jesus like a child trusts his parent, even though he maybe was a little impulsive. How many of you would have responded the way Peter did? I probably would have looked at Jesus and said, that's cool. Yeah, I'm not walking on the water. I'm staying right here in the boat, even if it's windy and blowing. It's safer than out there. But no, Peter, he just instinctively said, tell me to come and I'll come. No doubt Peter's experience sinking was difficult, maybe even a little embarrassing, but guess what? It helped Peter to grow in understanding who God was, who Jesus was. It helped him understand a little more about himself. Storms are intended to teach us not only who we are, but who Jesus is. And then those in the boat worshiped him. Not only did Peter benefit from that experience, but 11 other disciples benefited from that experience. They understood who Jesus was. They had a whole new understanding of who he was. Jesus sent them into the storm to teach them to trust, no matter what the consequences. So I want to ask you this morning, what is the purpose of the storm? Number one, it is to teach us to trust. Grant talked about his experience a couple weeks ago. That's a hard journey to learn to trust. And when you're in a fog, when you're just not sure what's going on and you can't sort through that stuff, it's hard. It's hard. And he said this morning, to take the first step is difficult. But I want you to think about this. When Jesus sends us into the storm, he has a purpose. When Jesus said, come, his intent is to create something good. Hebrews 12:2 says, he is the author and finisher of our faith. Whatever he starts, he completes. The disciples had just helped feed 5,000 people, but they didn't understand who Jesus was. Now, I'm thinking, come on, guys. Could you do that? No. But they still didn't get it. And I think it was for a purpose. The next step was to go into the storm. And this morning, I know that some of you are personally facing some storms. Some of them are physical. Some of them may be emotional. Some of them just may be trying to sort through life. And I want everybody to close their eyes and just imagine that you're in that boat with the disciples. And the waves are higher than the boat. And you have no idea where Jesus is. In fact, you're not even sure that He cares. You're not even sure that He knows who you are anymore. You're not even sure you know who you are anymore. But I want you to picture Jesus sitting on that mountain. And He's praying for you. He sees you in your distress. And He's praying for you. He's coming. He's going to come. I want us to get a picture of the purpose of the storm. It's not easy to be in that storm, no matter what it is. And sometimes we're in that storm, we're asking God to do a miracle. And maybe we can't even see the miracle because of the storm around us. But I promise you that Jesus sent you into that storm to reveal His glory in you and around you. Jesus sent His disciples into that storm to reveal His glory. It wasn't about them. It was about His glory. And this morning, if we could get a picture of that, and we could understand that the things that God sends us into sometimes are not always just about me, and just about my faith, and just about my trust, and just about my growing. But sometimes He wants to do something in someone else's life through me, through my experience. And if we can get a picture of that, it won't take away the frustration, the pain, but it will help us to see what God is doing. And I'm just going to give you just a moment this morning. If there's someone here that would like to raise your hand for prayer, because you are struggling, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, or whether it's just a dry season in your life, and you would like for us to pray for you, I'm just going to give you a chance to raise your hand and we'll pray. Okay? All right. Okay. Father, You have seen these hands, and You know the needs. You know the hearts of each person that has raised their hand, and You know the struggle. You know the storm. God, it's hard sometimes when we're in the middle of those storms to see the purpose, to even see any purpose to the storm, and sometimes even the purpose of life. We have plenty of examples in the Scriptures to help us through that. Father, this morning I pray that You would help each one that has raised their hand to get a picture of where You are, seeing You on that mountain, or You seeing them in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the storm. and that you're coming. That you are interceding, that you are there, you are caring. You care where they are, and you care where they're going. Father, I pray that you would just fill them with an intense peace. Whatever that storm is, whatever that difficulty is, that you would give them intense peace and trust. That as they go through that, whatever it is, that as they come to the other side, that you will be glorified through their life and through what you want to do in other people's lives through them. And if there's someone here this morning that didn't have the courage to raise their hand, Father, you know their need. You know the struggle. You know their heart. I pray that you would give them courage to continue to fight through that storm. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brian, do you have a song? 840 in the hymnary. I think we'll just stand and close with that.